service.
What's up? It's lip service, and we really do have a special guest today, and I'm excited for this.
We are all excited.
I'm Angela Yee.
I'm Gigi McGuire.
I'm Stephanie Santiago.
I'm L'Oreal.
And Chelsea Handler is here.
Woo! And I'm Chelsea.
Everybody says their name. You know what's funny? A funny Chelsea story is when, with my career in radio, right, I remember this guy was telling me, he was in the industry, and he said, Angela, you got to start thinking about your career and not being so raunchy. He was like, because what are you going to transition into? I said, well, do you know what I want to do? I said, I'd rather fashion myself after Chelsea Handler. No offense to Oprah, because I love Oprah. But me and her are just not anything like... Like, I have a show called Lip Service. I've already talked about sex and relationships and all kinds of things, a whole lot, that there's no
and
going
anal,
back.
And yeah. anal.
We've talked about anal.
Oprah is not talking about anal, and I'm here to talk about that, actually. So let's get started.
Oh, we didn't get her that butt plug. Do we have any? Have you ever used a butt plug?
I have not used a butt plug.
No. I woke up with a butt plug in me this morning.
Wow.
Wow. I woke up like this.
I did wake up like that.
Well, good for you. Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. And you just made me a perfect drink, so obviously things are working for you.
I think that is a talent, because Gigi actually gave me some butt plugs, and it was a variety of sizes. Mm-hmm. And she was like, here, this is good for beginners. So I tried to use the beginner one, and I was like, oh, this is small. I probably could just put it right up there. It didn't work.
It didn't?
Nope.
Well, yeah, that's good to have things for beginners, intermediates, and experts for all devices. You know what I mean? Because everybody's got something different going on.
Mm-hmm. How did you have anal without a butt plug?
I don't. I haven't had a lot of anal, to be honest with you. I mean, I haven't found somebody who's really into that. So I have to wait until I've done that. Sorry to disappoint you guys. Really sorry.
There goes one stereotype destroyed.
Yeah, because I feel like they think a lot
of
white
guys. Tell me about it. Do you love it? I've done it once or twice. It's not a thing that I've done multiple times. Tell me. Fill me in.
It hurts at
literally.
First, but then it feels really good.
Better than vaginal sex?
No, I know.
Right. No,
but it does feel
good.
But
it's a nice change of pace, right?
Yes, yes, yeah.
It's good when you're on your period.
Yeah.
Angela. I would guess.
Oh. Yeah, that makes sense.
Just tuck the string, you'll be all right.
Okay, now let's talk about your documentary, Hello Privilege. It's me, Chelsea. And what made you decide to do this documentary? Because we had a nice discussion before you came in about white privilege.
Yes. Well, I think the election was a real turning point for me. I know it was, because I just couldn't believe that this baboon was fucking elected. I couldn't fucking believe it. So I went into therapy because I was acting like a spoiled brat in reaction to his election. And I realized that this was the first time. I remember getting into my driver's car. My driver's black. I got into his driver's car at the end of the election that night. I was at my best friend Mary McCormick's house, and I got in the car and I was crying, and I can't believe this man is the president. I can't believe it. And I said, Billy, what do you, he's been my driver for years. He's like part of my family. I said, Billy, what do you think? And he said, we're done. This is your problem now. Mm-hmm. You know, black people are done fighting. Like, I'm done. He wasn't speaking for all black people, obviously, but it hit me like, oh my God, how do people of color, like, I'm this upset, and I'm upset about about the way that he was talking and everything. And I realized, like, it was the first time in my adult life that things became or felt unhinged. Mm-hmm. Nothing has ever not gone my way.
Right.
And it made me get out of my own asshole and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is the most upsetting thing that's happened in my adult life. What the hell are other people dealing with?
Yeah, it's just a series of upsetting things that have led to that. I was in Atlanta, and I was at when it was a Mandarin Oriental, and this white woman comes up to me. I don't know her. She was drunk, drinking by herself. She told me she had gotten into a fight with her husband and left the house. And she goes to me, what's up with this Black Lives Matter thing? She comes over to me just to ask me that.
What?
She was like, yes. She's like, and I think sometimes people feel like they could just, I see a black person, let me just ask them. I'm drunk, I want to know. And so I'm trying to explain, like, Black Lives Matter, and it doesn't mean that your life doesn't matter, but we've been through so much, and we have to do that because people treat us like our lives don't matter. And I'm trying to explain it to her, and she's really not getting it. And I'm like, why am I sitting here trying to explain?
And it's frustrating.
Well, it's also the Black Lives Matter. The fact that there has to be a movement to remind everybody else that Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. That's the conversation.
Within itself.
Right.
You know, so I think people think, a lot of white people think, oh, well, why am I being blamed for, you know, a society that's unjust or unfair? I wasn't here. Those were my ancestors, which is one of the grossest things to say. It's like, this has been going on for generations. Slavery lasted for longer than we've not had slaves. Right. We had slaves longer than we haven't had slaves. Mm-hmm. So for every white person that says I wasn't there, it's like, that is so gross. And it's also a defense mechanism, because I've noticed most white people don't want to talk about the subject matter, because if they admit there is privilege, then it's something that they have to give away.
You had some white women conservatives that didn't really believe that there is white privilege.
Yes. Now, they were from Orange County.
When I'm not going to lie, when I saw that part of the documentary, it made it a little hard to watch for me. Mm-hmm. I think like, I was enjoying it. And then when I got to that part, I'm like, are they serious? And then even one woman even said, well, I see the privilege, this and that. And then one of her friends said, so you do see the white privilege? She said, no, I think I see the black privilege, or like their privilege. And I was like,
slow down.
Is this a joke? I was really lost.
Yeah, they're pissed at people are like, not like that, because I would like to continue a dialogue with those women. You know, I went to therapy for a long time to understand how to talk mm-hmm. to people instead of yelling at them, because that's what I did for a career for so long. And it worked for me, but I wanted to be able to sit down and have conversations where I could actually listen to other people
right.
and try to have and be respectful of their space so that there is room to grow.
Sometimes it's hard.
It is. Listen, I am like, you know, I like a conversation. I like an argument. I'm all about it, like head first into conflict. But so for me, my exercise was letting people state their opinions, because there's going to be so many white women that mm-hmm. watch that documentary that see those four white women and think, I'm nothing like those women.
Right. And they all want to fuck Tashawn, by the way.
Yeah.
Let's be clear.
Oh, that's so funny.
But they probably did.
All those white women like, no, I don't. But where you at, Tashawn?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. Like, probably doing anal.
I don't know. Tashawn looked like he might tear that ass up. I don't know.
Yeah, he would. He seemed even more like that the last time I saw him, which was, as you know, recently.
Mm-hmm. Like, you think his dick grew from back then?
I don't know what happens with penis sizes and if they grow while you're in jail or if they shrink. Who knows?
You think if guys tug their penis a lot, it gets bigger?
I don't think it gets bigger. I think it changes the shape of the penis.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Oh. So it's more narrow?
Like, you can tell when a guy masturbates a lot or if he doesn't masturbate at all.
Really?
I feel like that.
I feel like sometimes guys... I have been with guys where I felt like their penis got bigger over time.
Well, maybe they just became more attracted to you over time.
Yeah, because dick got bigger.
I think when guys get really turned on, their penises do get bigger than normal, right? Like when they're really turned on, it's like, oh, wait, you could be having sex with somebody for like 2 years and all of a sudden you're like, what's going on down there?
Yes, at least an inch or two.
Or maybe they just manscaped.
And it looks bigger. Yeah. I like that idea too.
Right.
I don't think it from pulling it. It'll get a different shape.
It changes shape.
Really?
If a guy masturbates, listen, if a guy.
It's like whittling a stone. Eventually, you're going to shave it off a little bit.
That's true.
There's some guys in the room. Oh, it's like wearing a waist trainer to make your waist smaller.
Right. Exactly.
So I would assume if every
your body molds.
But you got to wear that all the time, because if you're not wearing a waist trainer, the waist is just not trained no more.
But imagine masturbating feels really good. So a guy's going to do it a lot. So if he's tugging it to the side, it's going to eventually curve to the side.
Do you have fingerprints in your pussy?
Imagine a guy wearing a waist trainer and masturbating to the side.
I couldn't imagine.
This is too much.
Now, do you think that white women have sex privileges too?
There's a lot of privilege that goes with the color of your skin, mm-hmm. you know? So yes, I would say that, but I mean, that's an uneducated answer because I haven't had enough time to think about that. But yeah, I think there's just a lot that comes with being white that if you are white, why do you think about it? You don't have a reason to think about it unless you're starting to really like, you know, be conscious about it. I grew up in a white neighborhood with a lot of white friends and then I moved to LA and I moved to Santa Monica mm-hmm. and then I moved to Brentwood and now I live in Bel Air. So even though I thought I was woke, which I fucking wasn't because I've self-segregated, you know what I mean? We all do things in an unconscious way that we're not aware of. And I have the luxury and license because I can take time off and do the projects that I want want to do. I know that not everybody is in the same position, but we're all in a position in our lives to think a little bit more about what it's like to be someone other than yourself.
Because I think even us doing this podcast, right, as women of color, doing a podcast about sex, we got so much judgment about it.
I bet. I was surprised when I was reading about your podcast that you guys were doing this. I really was, because you still can't even talk about sex, right? You know, I mean, I guess a podcast is really the only format to do it, or a book.
Well, I had a show on Sirius, is where it started, right? And so Lip Service started off as a nighttime show on Sirius. And it was the first thing like that, right? Where we had Black women talking about sex, talking about our sexuality. But when I tell you, when this first started, and I think it's getting better now, but people were like, oh, a bunch of whores sitting around.
Yeah, holes. Yeah, I couldn't take it too. It was driving me crazy after a while.
And I'm like, why is it so taboo for us to talk about sex? And I don't know, and people have said this to me, I don't think that white women would have had as big a, they wouldn't have had as big an issue if it was white women as they do when it's Black women. And I don't know if it's our community or whatever that kind of looked down on that at first, but I did get a lot of criticism for it. And it's like, the conversation is still intelligent and it's something that's necessary. There's so many people that don't have anyone to talk to when they want to talk about sex. They want to talk about different experiences. Like, we had a dominatrix on the show a couple of times, and that's fascinating to me. I was talking to someone yesterday about her experience as a dominatrix, and she was explaining it to me, and it seems like not a bad deal. Like, if you want to make some extra cash.
Oh, really?
Just because dominatrixes
find a whip.
Don't have sex, right? You're not supposed to have sex with your subs.
You just beat the shit out of a guy, right? In a sexual way.
Yeah, you dominate
and yell
them.
At him. Actually, it's a great exercise for a lot of women, probably.
And degrade him.
Yeah.
And they get off on it.
Yeah.
Have you ever done anything strange like that?
I remember doing a documentary and we visited this like S&M, you know, kind of couple, I guess. And they were explaining to us like, you know, the domineering, like all of the things that happen. And I just was so, it's like swinging. Like, I'm not into that shit. Like, I get it if you are.
Right.
And I totally, I mean, I don't really get it, but I, you know, yes, do whatever anybody wants. But I'm not going down that road. And yeah, I mean, it's nice to have like a little fun in bed, but I'm not down with all of that stuff. I'm actually like way more the conservative than anyone would imagine. Like, you know, at this point, I'm just trying to get some sex. Just some basic fucking shit. You know what I mean? I don't need to like get, I don't need to get caught up in anything else.
Do you have to think about whether or not people will know you? Like, I mean, they know you, but like, are they going to talk about it? I can't just go out and meet somebody. You don't care?
No, I don't care. I'm on Raya. I'm on Tinder. Like, I don't care if you tell anybody that you had sex with me. I'm trying to, I would love for that to be true. Right. Let's go have sex.
Do you care if they say it's good or not?
I don't care about that either.
Yeah, like, I had sex with Chelsea. It was terrible.
Yeah, that would probably be embarrassing, but I could get past it. That's the price I have to pay.
What about you, ladies? I know. Do you think about that? Like, Gigi, you're newly single.
Yes, I am.
Are you having sex already?
Yes, I am.
Oh, see, I haven't had sex
in a long
time.
I woke up with a butt plug.
I know, but I don't know what you're up to on your own, girl.
She was by herself.
I wasn't by myself.
Does anybody masturbate with butt plugs? Is that a good feeling?
Maybe.
I haven't. I think it's a training thing.
I haven't masturbated with the butt plug. But the butt plug last night was just more of me like being like a freak for this guy.
And then you
like,
fell asleep.
I surprised him with it. Like, he had no idea until he flipped me over to go hit from the back. And it was like a pink rhinestone.
He was like, wait a minute, something's
like,
in there.
What is that? And I was like, it just feels like your thumb is in my butt the whole time. Like, it's not the
same. And so then did he take out the butt plug?
I know. It stayed in throughout the whole situation.
That's good.
I passed out. I actually tapped out, excuse me, and fell asleep. And when I woke up this morning, the plug was still in. And I was like, oh shit, it's still there.
So you didn't fart, obviously.
No, I didn't fart.
It's also a great way, if you put a butt plug in, it's a great way to tell somebody, like, no entry here if you're not into anal.
It's like a cork stopper.
It's like, hey, there's already something in here.
So. Yeah, this space is taken.
Yeah, go around the corner.
This seat's taken.
Nobody masturbates by, like, shoving their finger in their butt, right?
No.
No.
Women, maybe a guy, because, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where their prostate is.
But they probably still jerk off.
But. You know, but women, I don't know a woman that has ever said that they masturbate with their butthole.
Because it's like a certain point you have to reach to even like feel the pleasure anyway, right? So you're not going to
get there, with
shove all the way up there by yourself with your finger.
Plus, you see her nails?
You can still get it up there.
What I don't understand about the nail situation these days. Because women's nails are so long. I get it's in. But how do you fool around with a guy with those nails?
So what do you mean? Like if I'm like
Well, if you're in putting a tricky a area, if you're around your own vagina or his penis, like, what? I mean, don't you have to, like, think about your nails?
I think you just got to be more gentle. I'm not going to lie. Since I've been getting these, like, Swarovski crystals, I haven't tried to, because these will come off and you don't want this in your butt.
One finger blast.
I used to get my nails done like that, and I used to get all kinds of shit. Like, 5 years ago, and every guy I was with hated them. Right. Every single one. Yeah. They'd be like, oh,
how are you supposed to finger my butt with
scared
that?
Of them.
Yeah, that's
nails.
What they're yeah, mad
they
about.
Them.
They wanted
yeah,
to finger out their butt.
Yeah,
I
hate them.
No, not today.
No.
But that's like, for girls. Yeah.
This
maybe
is
you
more
should
for
just
me.
Leave one finger.
Yeah, one finger off. Like.
Or two.
Good idea, Chelsea. Why didn't I think of that?
And paint that nail brown, just in case.
Oh, my God. No.
Too far.
I don't want to get shit on my finger.
That crossed the line. I no longer feel comfortable.
What about you, Lo? Do you think about like who you date or sleep with and if he's going to talk?
Yeah, but I feel like one thing that like, if I'm dating somebody or I take it that far, I want him to respect me enough to the fact that he's not running around saying stuff about me, especially in this, like we're grown. So mm-hmm. if you're doing that, that's the kind of guy that I don't want to be with, right. You know, or around or anything.
Yeah,
but
that's
you never
a character.
Know.
That's a character trait. And if somebody's like that, it's like, exactly. You don't want to date a guy like that.
No, it's disgusting. It's like, if you have to go around being like, hey, let me tell you how this was, yeah. like grow up.
You know, that bitch on lip service, I hit that.
Yeah. I think guys
actually brag about their sexual escapades way more than we do. Like, for mm-hmm. sure.
But if they really, really mess with you, I mean, yeah, they're going to say whatever about you, but yeah, it's certain things you
more
gotta...
after the fact. Like, once it's over, then it's like, yeah, I had her.
Oh, yeah,
also,
once
but
it's
also,
over.
That's a character. Like, if mm-hmm. they, some guys don't do that, and some guys do. Some guys actually really respect women. Mm-hmm. You know? They
surprise,
actually,
surprise.
Where are they? And they don't get their self-esteem from advertising mm-hmm. every woman that they've slept with. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a nice quality in a man.
I actually had a conversation with my co-host on my morning show, and he said that if there was a girl that he knew dealt with a guy he knew, he would ask him, how was she in bed? And I felt like
that's
that was
weird.
Not only weird, but it's like, where are you in your mind that you feel like, hey, so how was, and he said he would ask, how's
he
the
was
head?
Thinking with how's his the, penis. Hello?
But I just think that's crazy to me. Like, the, and if
that's
you,
disrespectful.
It's disrespectful.
And plus, sometimes aren't you good with certain guys and not mm-hmm. good with other guys? Mm-hmm. Like, I might suck somebody's dick fantastically, and then somebody else, I might be like, and it also depends on the size of the dick. Like, some dicks are smaller and easier to suck.
And you're going
to
go ham on it.
Right.
So
and you can
easier.
Really do every trick. Can,
I'm Jewish, so I just want to put it out there that I'm not good at blowjobs.
Really?
Come on.
No, Chelsea. No. I mean, if I'm really into somebody, I suppose I could get good at it. But like, it's not a natural thing for me. I'd much rather have sex with somebody before that happens than give a blowjob.
And because they might be like, no thanks.
Well, I just don't think, I don't think they're going to be that impressed.
Yeah.
And it also feels really intimate. More intimate than sex to
really? Because you could get pregnant from sex.
Well, I'm not going to. So that feels better. Like, and that's at least getting to know someone. Like a blowjob feels like something you really have to do. Like for me, it feels like I'd really have to be into somebody to want to put my mouth on their penis.
I totally agree with you on that.
I think Chelsea yes. is being a bad
because
white girl.
I agree.
No anal bad head. What's going on, Chelsea?
She's not really white.
You're a disgrace to your
guys, not really white. Out here so they can teach me how to give a blowjob. All right. Well, what do you guys get out here?
No, Steph, what was you saying?
I don't remember.
Actually, I have no idea.
I don't remember what I was saying.
You said you were with me, that you're with me. You'd rather have sex than
oh,
she's
like, no, because I told, right. Okay, thank
she's
you.
Like,
okay,
I'm not job.
Yeah, you're pointing at me. Yes. I feel like giving a blowjob is something very intimate. It's like I'm showing off. I'm there. You're looking at me. It's way more intimate than just sex. Like you could turn around and be reading a book while somebody's fucking in front of
me. That would be awful. Yeah. You know, read Chelsea Handler's book. Life will be the death of me while you're getting
a hand job or a blowjob. I remember once in high school trying to give. I think I tried. It was probably my attempt. To give my first blowjob. And I remember the guy putting his hand on my head.
Oh, no.
That's the worst.
And when
no.
I felt his hand on my head, I thought, okay, I'm not down with, like, I'm not down with anybody putting their hand on my head.
Yeah, I don't like
you
that.
Know, women don't do that to men. We're not like, yeah, get in like, there. I mean.
We don't?
I'll
sometimes.
How drunk am I?
Yeah, exactly. You got to get to know somebody a lot before you put your hand on their head.
Especially
right?
if they have a receding hairline and they haven't shaved.
What?
Guys are very self-conscious about their hairlines. And if they don't have a fresh shave and you're on their head, they're like, whoa, wait a minute.
A little stubby.
But you got to learn how to give a good blowjob.
All right, well, teach me. I mean, you've got a microphone.
Okay, so.
Look, I'm like, where do we start? Get the Douce bottle.
Okay, this is what I think. The first step to a good blowjob is the anticipation of it, right? If you're a lazy person and you don't want to have to go too long, you just have to tease before you actually do the blowjob because that will make them come faster.
Oh, yeah, I know about that.
Right, so you just kind of like lick around it. So they're like, oh my God, when is she going to finally put her mouth on my dick?
Right.
And
or maybe she won't.
Yeah, but it's the anticipation because I think that they love that. So I would start off like that. Gigi, what's next?
I like to kiss the penis, like pecs, you know.
Make out.
Yeah, like I was just about to say, I really like giving head and I think I'm really good at it. So I don't know, I'm a little different, but.
Well, I like that you're enthusiastic about it. I don't have the enthusiasm for
it. I do. I want to do it. Like you guys are both like, oh, it's hella intimate and I would rather have sex. I would rather give head.
No, I didn't say I would rather have sex. I just feel like it's more of an intimate moment.
More of an intimate moment.
You just can't suck everybody's dick, I feel like.
You can't suck everybody's dick. You I mean you can't even be intimate with everybody. However, you know, a lot of spit helps.
A lot of hand action.
The further it gets down your throat, it makes your mouth wet. So then that's where the spit comes from.
I feel like, please don't forget the balls.
Right.
I feel like a lot of people forget the balls.
Yeah, you can't
for obvious reasons.
Don't neglect the balls.
And be gentle with them.
Like caress them. Yeah. If you're not even going to like lick them or put them both in your mouth like I like to do, then you can just caress them and, you know, just give them a little bit of a tickle massage.
I think I'm such a savage. These tips, I don't do any of that. Like, I'm like... Right to it. Let's go.
You know what the first thing is?
The first thing I do when I'm about to give a blowjob is this.
Yeah, me too. And I do the same thing. I do the same exact thing. I lick my hand.
That's the very first thing I do.
I look like a paw, like a cat.
Yeah, I'm the
thing I have with blowjobs is that I think because my first experience was so cemented and it felt so degrading that I have that it's disrespectful. It was disrespectful. It felt for a man to put his hand on my head.
Yeah.
And even at that young age, that imprint in your physical body actually stays with you much longer than you realize.
Right.
So even intellectually, now that I know that that was just one asshole. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just like, well, you know, save the blowjobs for somebody who really deserves it.
This might be a good therapy discussion.
Yeah, it is. It is a good therapy. I'll bring it up with my therapist.
And I feel like I learned how to suck dick better because I had a guy that was like that. Like, I was in a relationship with a guy that was more like, come on, he loved head. So it's like I had to do it so much that I got really good at it.
Yeah.
But it would be for like an hour. My jaw would be like,
okay,
locking
no,
up.
That's
but
not
I was
right.
Young. That's abusive.
Yeah, that is
nobody
abusive.
Nobody wants to suck on anything for an hour.
When I was younger,
that's terrible.
You know, and
I wouldn't
like,
do it for an hour.
I think I just liked him so much that I was like, oh,
I'm
well,
gonna make
like,
it happen.
Like, okay.
And
then
he's
whatever.
Probably holding his nut. Yeah. I hate when guys try to make you suck their dick mad long and hold their nut. That's
he was
so
definitely
rude.
Doing that.
Oh, I got something I could talk about on the subject of balls. I just remembered because I've been with Are you guys into white guys too? Have you been with a lot of white and black guys?
I have. I've never been with a white guy.
You've never been with a white guy.
I've been with like three white guys.
I think in my experience, I will say that black men have tighter ball sacks.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Even light skin, like Spanish guys, they're a little looser.
Yes,
I totally agree.
That is something that
the melanin holds. So the melanin holds the testicles a little tighter.
Yeah, just the same reason why black people age better, I guess, because their skin is less elastic and they can keep it together more. But yeah, because balls
really
are really tricky, and it's nice to keep them in one area instead of having one slide around and come out. You know, Pikachu. I don't want that.
So like they come around. I've never seen like a ball over here.
Yeah, you
really?
Can have sex with some older white men and you'll see what
that's because of gravity too. As they get older, I think the balls drop.
Yeah. I don't
I've
think
seen
I'm
some
ever
long
have sex
balls in my
guy.
Day.
Huh? I think people
some long balls, you know, they're hanging.
That's again, it's like long balls don't go together. Long boobs are also not a compliment. And you don't want balls that are long.
I say that all the time. I don't like when they swing and they hit you. It's like a pendulum, and they're like,
oh no, but see, I kind of like that.
I don't like it.
It
doesn't bother me. I don't think it's bad.
I'm gross, guys.
I do not want to get hit in the face or in the butt with balls.
I don't want that.
I like butt balls.
Butt balls. The ball slap.
I can't do the plug, but I can do the ball.
What about when you're sucking and you like the ball smacking you on your...
No, that's never happened to me. Mm-hmm. I can't think. Has it?
No, I don't think
it's probably
so.
Hard to suck long balls, too.
Are you supposed to suck balls?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's probably why I've never given a blowjob. Yeah, because generally, I'm not
like
going
to
do
put
that.
Them both in my mouth
I'm not
at the
sucking
same
balls.
Time.
Generally.
So no. Sucking them
I won't
both.
Do it. It's not my thing.
You won't lick it?
No, maybe, but I'm not sucking it. I'm not putting a ball in my mouth.
But what if they're tight, like you said?
Doesn't matter. Nothing's tight enough for that.
I think it's uncomfortable. Like, I'm not a big fan of having balls in my mouth either. Because you can't suck them too hard.
You and I need to go to Sandals together.
Sandals.
Right. You seem like we're on the same.
You guys need to go to Hedonism together.
Yeah, right. Please. It seems like we're on
you
the same
get smacked with some balls.
Please. Chelsea and I at Hedonism, we'll be like, oh my God.
Long balls away.
I know you're busy. Your inbox is full of unread emails. There's dinner to make and you haven't even taken a deep breath since yesterday. Well, why not unwind and take a moment to reconnect with yourself and prioritize your pleasure with Dipsy Stories. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories and guided sessions designed to turn you on. Each story is created with women in mind. They're relatable and immersive. And there's something for everyone, whether you're into men, women, or both. Find stories about strangers meeting on the beach in Mexico or seeing that ex you can't stop thinking about on the subway. They add 3 brand new stories every week, so you'll always have more to explore. Whatever you're in the mood for, Dipsy always keeps it real and really hot. And for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/Angela. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to dipseastories.com/Angela. That's dipsystories.com/Angela.
Now, how much does success and money matter in a guy that you're dating now? Does somebody have to have those things? Because you've been with some very successful men. So is it possible for Chelsea to date somebody that is just making it, just scraping by?
Well, there's a difference. I need somebody who, I mean, I've tried to date guys who are just like scraping by and it ends up being kind of really uneven. Mm-hmm. I don't need somebody to be like, you know, wealthy or rich or anything like that, but I want somebody who has their shit together, but mm-hmm. also for intellectual reasons, I just don't want somebody who's struggling. I want somebody who's on the same page as me. You know, I'm in mm-hmm. my 40s now, I'm 44. And, you know, we were joking. Well, it's not a joke, but you know, everybody knows I dated 50 Cent. And in my documentary, my boyfriend Tyshawn from high school's in it. Mm-hmm. And I said to my friend said yesterday, she goes, you know, white guys are never going to ever, she goes, you think you had trouble dating before? She goes, white guys are never going to try to date you now because they think you right. only like black dudes. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I like white dudes,
right?
But they're fucking scared of me. So I probably will end up with a black guy, but I do get hit up by a lot more black guys than I do. And no white guys ever approach me, ever.
I feel like it's like you open the floodgates once the whole like 50 Cent, anything, anybody that's near 50 Cent and not scared in a way. Like, so I think from there, they were like, yes, we're all able to like slide in her DMs. Right. But before then, I don't think like they would have right. even tried. Like, right. even though you
she's
seem
one of
very
us.
Cool. And yeah, I think now you just crossed over into the black community as soon as 50 Cent hit that.
But they're not going to like that you don't
but
suck
I
balls.
Don't, but I'm not, like, I'm an egalitarian. I like white people. I'm not discriminating.
This is an equal opportunity. This is an equal opportunity for everyone.
Equal opportunity pussy.
Yeah. What about Asian, Hispanic?
No, I haven't had sex with any Asian men. Hispanic? Well, a Spanish guy I've had sex with. Yeah, I've had sex with Hispanic guys. Mm-hmm. Not guys. I think it was that one. but he was actually from Spain. So he
literally
was
Spanish.
Like, literally Spanish. Yeah, I mean, I'm into whatever. I'm into a guy that knows what he wants and isn't scared of my personality. Like, it's not going anywhere. So if it's just me and I have to hang out by myself with my friends and my family, I'm also down with that. Like, mm-hmm. I like to have sex, but I don't need a companion. Like, I don't need a boyfriend. I would love to have that guy, but, you know, that may or may not happen.
You seem like you'd be a fun girlfriend.
I'm pretty fun.
Yeah. Except that you don't suck balls. I really like to suck
balls. So how's that going to affect our relationship? You
have balls. She has balls.
She's like, I can't be friends with you because you also don't like to suck balls.
No, I mean a girlfriend to a guy, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of guy friends. Yeah. My guy friends all want to have sex with me, but they're all married. So that's how we keep it real.
Okay, wait a minute.
No.
They all want to cheat on their wives with you?
No. We don't do it. But those are the kind of guys I'd want to date. Like, you know, my friends, husbands and boyfriends are the guys I'm closest to. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of get the best to both worlds because all my friends, boyfriends, and husbands are always looking out for me. And
they're not my boyfriends, but right. they, you know, it's kind of sweet. And I get to hang out with my girls. I'm a third wheel a lot. I really am.
Yeah.
Or a fifth wheel. It depends. Sometimes there's more than one couple.
Let's go to the movies.
One thing I saw in you is with your friends. It's like, I bring this up all the time. I talk about it a lot because it was like one of the favorite things I ever watched in my life. And it was one of your documentaries. And it was when you did Chelsea Does Drugs. Mm. And you guys are all at the table, and that looked like a fun situation.
We should try
but
that.
When you did ayahuasca, how you say it?
Ayahuasca.
Would you ever like recommend somebody else to do that? And would you do it again?
I'm gonna do. First of all, I'm going right now to meet Jenny. After this, after I leave here today, I'm going to meet her for lunch. The girl in the documentary.
Yeah.
That was Chelsea Does Drugs. and yes, I would do it again. I just did a podcast about it last week with all of us who were in the episode to talk about how we felt about it now that it's been 4 years.
Right.
And if we would do it again. And yeah, I would recommend it. You can't be on antidepressants. Mm-hmm. You can't be on, you know, you have to really clean out your system. And you have to find a good shaman. And I don't know how you do that. That's just instinct or, you know, a referral.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But people are doing it and people are having transformative experiences. But you have to really respect your own brain chemistry. Like, I know that I take tons of drugs. I've always have. I like mushrooms. I like cannabis.
Ange likes mushrooms.
I do like mushrooms.
I like mushrooms.
We love cannabis.
Oh, so
we
if you like animals. Mushrooms, I
we
say
love drugs.
It's the closest thing. It's not giddy and happy like mushrooms, but it's this joyfulness that comes over you.
Right.
It is the overwhelming gratitude and love you feel either. For me, it was my sister who's actually standing out there today.
Oh, she's here now.
Shauna, she went down to the bathroom.
Yeah.
She's probably scared because we're talking about anal. She's like, what? Please.
But we don't know what she does.
We don't know what she gets up to in the sheets. But it was an overwhelming feeling of just love and like gratefulness. And you looked at your life. I remember this scene. It plays like there's just these flashes of imagery and mm-hmm. it's all your whole life as a kid, not your whole life, but scenes from your kid, like that are real that you have in your brain somewhere that you've forgotten about. And dogs. Like I remember seeing a dog from my childhood. I was like, oh, that's Muttley. And I realized, yeah, you had that dog. Like right. This isn't make-believe. Mm-hmm. All of the things you're seeing were
it's
scenes.
Real.
And it was my sister and I running along the beach at our parents' summer house in Martha's Vineyard, you know, because we're white. And we were laughing and like tipping each other over in kayaks and we were holding hands. And I remember there was a scene where I was pulling her down by her hair. And I was watching myself and I'm like, oh my God, I was 3 years old. I'm like, you're already fucking bullying her when you were 3 years old. You're like, and you know, but it was all this like beautiful imagery. And it was for me, what ended up happening with the ayahuasca was it was like this voice saying, your sister and you are different. You are not correct. She's not correct. Don't judge her. Because she wants to be, you know, a mom and a family person and wants to live in New Jersey. You need attention. She doesn't need your attention. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm the loser. I'm the one who's thirsty here. So it was a whole completely change of my understanding and empathy and compassion for her and understanding my way isn't the right way. Mm-hmm. My way is my way and her way is her way.
And that's absolutely
we should
fine.
Try that, guys.
Yeah.
I want to do ayahuasca
I
so
do it
bad.
Do it,
so
you guys. You guys come to LA because in Topanga, they have like tons
we'll
of ayahuasca.
We'll be in LA
yeah, they have
in
like
November.
Ayahuasca retreats,
Chelsea, when
right?
you do it, we'll come and do it too.
I would totally do
you
it
get
with
a
you
good
girls. We could record it.
No, we're going to be
yes,
in LA
and we can record it.
Am I going to be embarrassed by this recording?
Yeah, some people were crying, shitting.
When I did shrooms, I definitely was crying.
Yeah. No,
but I was crying like happy tears. I just couldn't stop.
That's what it is. That's what ayahuasca feels like. But ayahuasca doesn't make you laugh like shrooms. Like it's not fun and it's not social. You don't want to like hang out with me and talk to me about what you're going through. It's very
you go through it
solitary.
Alone.
No, when right. I was living in LA, I was planning. I was like, I want to do ayahuasca and I want to tape it. I want to film it. I want to see how I do.
And see, I don't want to film it.
I
just
want to
go through
but
it.
But we could. And then if you don't like it, you can yeah. always. But
maybe I'll, because I might do another one and film it if you guys do it or I do it. But we should stay in touch because I want, if I do it, I want to bring a group with me.
Yeah, no,
I'd love to.
Really
yeah.
All right,
cool.
I would love to.
We should definitely do
it.
The
do
only
it.
Thing I've done on there that you've done other than the normal stuff was the Adderall, too. That was another thing that, like, even brung my interest. I mean, not Adderall, sorry, Ambien.
Yeah.
Because I've drank and took Ambien and done things and not remember. remembered. So when I've seen what you did and you was like drawing your brother and, you know, and I looked at it and I could really like, I'm like, wow, that's, I stopped taking it after I watched that.
Well, Ambien is, you shouldn't take it. I stopped Ambien. Taking it. It's terrible. It. Yeah. It's terrible. There's so many. First of all, cannabis, well, I know it's not legal here, but you guys can get it here.
Yeah.
We smoke weed.
I got it right now. You need to go to bed now and take weed. I have a weed line coming out next year in February, and I'm very passionate about cannabis because it is a game changer.
Yes.
You know, made me a lot less angry and a lot like more tolerant of other people.
All right, we're with it.
Yeah, we're going to go do ayahuasca. Am I saying it wrong?
No, I would love to do ayahuasca.
I got it this time. Yeah. Okay, okay, good.
Yeah. Just remember, it starts with an A-Y. It's confusing. Believe me, I get it. It's like,
I feel like I'm such a mess. Yeah. Like, I'm such an emotional mess. I feel like it would be so interesting for me to take ayahuasca
Can you write while you're on it? Because you know how you be wanting to like write stuff down?
I want to see what comes out.
You don't forget anything. You remember every single thing. I just wrote my book. Like, the ayahuasca chapter is a chapter in my book. And it was all right there. Not one of those drugs where you don't remember. It's not like you remember every detail. And that's what's so profound about it, I think.
Yeah, I'm not, because I don't really do a lot of drugs. I did ecstasy a few times and it was nice until I had a bad experience and then I never did it again.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. Yeah.
I love shrooms and I did shrooms so many times last year.
I've never taken them.
Now I'm doing microdosing with shrooms, which is really helpful. Like I take them when I'm skiing. Like I take, it's like a real, it's literally microdosing. So it just goes like people with depression, people with PTSD. It starts to, it's just like a more up, happy feeling throughout your day. And you're like, everything's a little bit more sparkly, but it's almost imperceptible, but it's not if you're paying attention to
it. I would do a little bit is good.
Yeah, you should try microdosing.
I would do that. All right, now let's talk about, you had to take sexual harassment training.
Well, I've had to take it several times.
Wow.
I've had to take it several times.
L'Oreal needs to take it as well.
They made me take it my job.
Oh, really?
Because I tried to bring everybody sex toys, but I figured like they knew I have a sex show. It's the big deal. It's not like I was like, hey, I want to see you use this. It's like, you guys want some?
I mean, the sexual harassment training is so ridiculous because, well, it's necessary, but also ridiculous. Like you have to, they should just think a little bit more about the realisticness of like, you know, what they said at the end was that we should all, if you want to say hi to somebody you don't know at work, that you should dab them.
Dab them.
That's how you say hello. And
hi.
I'm like, you can't hug people. Well, you're not really supposed to hug people in
the workplace
anymore.
You're supposed to ask
if you can hug them.
In high school, we had a no PDA rule. In high school, no public display of affection. We weren't allowed to hug in high school.
Oh my God, that's the high school thing.
Where you hug.
Where did you go?
You know, when a guy's like, hey, where's my hug at? Like, you didn't hug me today.
That's because they're trying to feel your titties against their chest,
Gigi. I didn't have titties in high school.
Well, they wanted to feel them.
Trying to feel something else. Then your butt.
trying to feel something.
She didn't have a butt then yet.
Everything's new.
They're all fresh out the box.
No, but seriously, so L'Oreal had to take it for giving out sex toys. I wouldn't have thought that was a problem either because, you know, I work with a couple of guys, Envy and Charlamagne, and they're very inappropriate.
Yeah, right.
So I feel like I could get them on something.
Probably. I mean, this is your moment.
Take advantage, Ange. Envy put a, he tried to embarrass me and put a sex toy in my luggage once. In my carry-on.
No, that's embarrassing.
It wasn't. I didn't really care.
No, he didn't put it on. He was supposed to put it on so it was vibrating. Duh.
No, he put it in my luggage and I didn't even see it.
They must go through. Security at airports must see so they many must vibrators. Like,
really? I'm sure the security saw the butt plug and because it was in my purse.
I can't travel with sex toys.
They're probably like, what the fuck?
I just started using sex toys like 3 weeks ago. They forced me.
What?
Yes. When
is that sexual harassment that we forced you?
The first time you've ever used a vibrator?
Yeah, I did not. I was like, I always looked at it like I'll just get dick or use my fingers because I just thought it was weird to like fuck plastic or whatever.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, but I tried it and now I don't feel the same way.
Yeah, you like it now.
What are you using?
Like that one toy that you told me.
Amazing iVibe. Isn't it amazing?
iVibe.
Tell me it's fantastic.
We'll get you one.
Yeah, get me.
You just
put on your little dingleberry?
Yeah. It's like a pocket rocket. You ever seen a pocket rocket?
It's a small vibrator
and it's very powerful.
That's what it is. It's like the vibration.
It's like I call it the squirt-o-matic.
And it has a little ring, and you put your finger through the ring, and like you don't even have to. It's just,
right.
It's amazing.
Soon men will become extinct.
Right. Oh, Gabrielle, I'm so proud of you for using
it. I like it. I like it a lot. We're going to get you one.
Right,
I promise.
Right. You just hold it by the ring. You just let it hang.
Have you ever been late to work playing with sex toys?
No.
No.
Have you ever what? Been late to work like because you were playing with sex toys or watching porn?
No. I think this one.
I'm not late because I'm playing with
maybe
sex
late
toys
to host a party.
I just won't get out of bed if that's the case. I just will cancel. Like, I'm busy.
Oh my
today.
God.
Not work, but
that's
like,
when
something.
You know you have a problem.
You cancel for
shit.
Your sex toys.
I'll cancel like a lunch date with my homegirl because I'm in a bed vibrating and masturbating.
See, I haven't. I'm done.
How many
addicted.
Times can you masturbate in a row before you're like, I'm done?
For hours.
Really? Over. What? And you climax one time?
Yeah.
Sorry, don't say climax
like 10,
in this context.
Times.
You climax.
So,
do you ever hold your cum when you're masturbating?
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Right. Because sometimes you're like, I don't want to.
I want to lead up to it and then I stop.
See, but I feel like when I do that,
once
then
it's
when
over,
I,
and then like,
yeah.
Wait for
me. I feel like if you wait and hold it, the orgasm isn't as good to me.
Me too.
Because what'll happen is I'll orgasm by mistake.
Yep, me
and
too.
And I'm like, fuck, I could have had a good
and
one.
And it wasn't a good one. It wasn't satisfying.
And then that's when you start over and end up there for
Gigi,
hours.
I have to go to work.
I've had days where I masturbate the whole day, but not like that back to back. Like, I'll take like 15 minute, 20 minute breaks, you know, maybe have a snack.
I did that a lot of masturbating when I was a little girl. I used to call it the feeling because it was when I first discovered my Pikachu and I was like, oh, this is fun. I was like, ding dong, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And I went through a phase where I masturbated, but it got out of control because I was doing it like around my family. Like I'd hide behind an ottoman and be like,
they all
face down on the floor, rubbing my vagina and like, you know, with rug burns on my forehead to the point where my family was like, what? Okay,
you're
there's a problem. We know what you're doing.
Oh my God. In the
yeah, but I thought I was
they didn't
so
know.
Little. You know how you sometimes think people don't know what's up?
Yeah. You're like, I'm invisible.
I go on bike rides and use the bicycle seat and I would just be like, it would use that and the monkey bars on the playground. I remember climbing up them and I'd be like, oh, I'm getting the feeling. And I got so shamed from it. I didn't get so shamed, but I felt such shame after my parents caught me and were told me, you have to stop this. And they didn't say just stop it at, you know, in public. They were like, just stop altogether. So I felt a lot of shame. And I think that might be why I don't masturbate. Like,
oh,
I just
stop.
No. Yeah. I mean,
do you watch porn?
No. I mean, when I'm into a guy, I think I have like an underactive sex life and drive. Like I have to get more involved with what you guys are talking about because I mean, you sound like you're all masturbating every day.
No,
I masturbate almost every day
because I'm always tired.
Do you have a boyfriend right
now?
Yes. Oh, okay. So then you don't, right.
But he doesn't live here.
But
so.
You still masturbate while you, okay. So if he doesn't live here, you do masturbate. But if you have a boy, you have a boyfriend now, but you're still
I don't have a boyfriend. She's the one that's single
now.
I'm single, but I was just in a 10-year relationship and I still masturbated almost every day.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I have a boyfriend.
So you're horny a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
And okay. She can squirt.
I have a very high sex drive.
Okay, well, copy that.
She can squirt a lot. I feel
yeah,
like when,
I
I'm, in,
squirt a lot
when I'm in a relationship, I never masturbate. Unless it's like me and him and he wants me to, I never masturbate.
Not me. Sometimes he fall asleep and I was all like ready to go.
Well, that's
like,
so annoying.
I'll wake him up. First
exactly.
Wake that fucking asshole up.
Yeah, I would wake him up.
Yeah, I feel like you still masturbate in a relationship.
You have to masturbate and then put the cum mustache on him.
Like, smell that.
You missed out.
You missed out on that one. This could have been you.
This could have been you. You could have been
you could have been the reason for this.
He's like, well, it could have been me if you would have sucked my dick to wake me up.
You know what? I've never masturbated in front of a guy before.
Oh my God.
For
girl.
Real?
Listen, let me tell you something. If I'm having sex with a guy and I'm about to come and he comes and I don't, I will finish the job right in front of him.
Yeah, as you should.
Yeah. Clearly.
Absolutely.
Because he didn't do it.
So you do that, Chelsea?
No, what? No.
So why are you co-signing
this? Because if somebody fell asleep while I was having sex with them before I came, yeah, I'd wake that fucking asshole up too. And be like, hey, buddy, I'm here. I have sex once a year. I need you to wake up.
Do you remember your first orgasm?
Yeah. Well, my first orgasm was when I started getting the feeling when I was a little girl.
I mean, with
girl.
A guy. With a guy.
No, because I was overshadowed by me being alone with myself on a bicycle seat. I mean, I remember the first time I had sex and liking that. And I was like, oh, I could get down with this. You know, I was like a teenager and I had an older boyfriend and I had sex when I was like 15 and I was like, oh, this is fun. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't painful or anything like that. It was just like
that bike experience.
Yeah. Cause that bike warmed me up. That banana seat warmed me up.
Banana seat.
But, Yeah. I mean, yeah, everybody likes to orgasm, I think.
Right, yeah. No, but do you remember your first one? Because I remember the first time I ever had an orgasm.
I had an orgasm way before I had sex with guys.
Right.
They would make you have an orgasm before, if they know what they're doing. I've also been with guys who have no idea how to make a woman
yes,
orgasm.
Yes, I've been with guys that I've never came with, and I've been with guys who I always can make me come. And you know which one I prefer.
Which one is that? No, I'm joking. All right, Chelsea, you're doing a red table talk as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. What do y'all talk about? Give us a spoiler.
We talk a lot about white privilege, a lot about the new documentary, which is Hello Privilege. It's mm-hmm. me, Chelsea, about my own privilege because I wanted to make the film, you know, kind of exploring how I got to where I am, because for a long time I really believed it was because I have a lot of talent or I worked really hard or I didn't take into account what people who don't have my skin color would go through, or the fact that, you know, I was rewarded time and time again about talking about things that were supposedly taboo, you know, like sex and mm-hmm. drinking and one night stands. And that was my first book was One Night Stands.
Yes.
And you know, and I got rewarded for it over and over again. And, you know, it didn't occur to me until after the election and looking at all of the stuff that we were seeing with all of these people being shot in the back by police multiple times, of all the discrimination, of all the stuff that made me go, oh my God, you've been so far up your own ass. You haven't even considered or contemplated what it's like to not be you. Mm-hmm. Because I think we get lost. And, you know, this is not, you know, this is a lot of us feel this way. We get lost in our own lives. People are trying to make ends meet. They have kids to raise. They're working three jobs. They don't have time to think about other people. Mm. And I did have time. I don't mm-hmm. have kids. I don't have a husband. I don't have any of that. And I've been the architect of my life in that way because I don't want that kind of responsibility. I want to be able to be like a thought leader. I want to be communicating with people and telling people my stories. And I really decided that like I had to make a, I wanted to start making a contribution to people that need people like me to stand up for them a little bit more, not to fix the situation, but to bring attention to people that are like me, that are well off and white, who've never contemplated the issue.
Right.
It's more speaking to white people because it's a white person's problem. White privilege is not a black people's problem.
Only
or a
you
brown
guys can
person's.
Fix it. Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. We created it. So let's start talking about it. And even though it's so uncomfortable, and white people don't want to be found guilty of something because then they have to give it away. Mm-hmm. They think, oh, if I say I have privilege or I'm the beneficiary of it, mm-hmm. then what do I have to give up? Which is a great question. What are we all willing to give up as a community and as a culture? What if we could give up things for other people?
Mm-hmm.
And would we?
Right.
And, you know, and it's a question I asked myself and it's a question I answered for myself. And I wanted to spread that message, you know? And so for me, it was really about, I think we all hang out with people that look like us. You know, that's our natural instinct is to be like, you know, most of my friends are white. It takes a lot of time to go, or not that much time. It takes a conscious effort to go, oh, okay, let me develop a friendship with this person that's not like me. She's from India. Let me get to know her culture and mm-hmm. her background so that I have a little bit more compassion and a little bit more empathy.
You just learned about empathy too.
Yes.
That was interesting.
From my psychiatrist.
Book, yes. You talk about that life would be the death of me and you having to realize that you have sympathy, but you don't have empathy.
Yeah.
So how has that changed your life?
Well, it's good because, you know, I needed going to a therapist and having them actually break down what they think is wrong with you when you're paying them is a great exchange. It's the best way to learn. And I was like, I need you to tell me what, you know, I had no patience. I had no empathy. And he said that. He told mm-hmm. me, he goes, you lack empathy. And I was so confused about the distinction between sympathy and empathy. Mm-hmm. And then over time, you know, you're able to cold, as long as you are aware of the situation, like once he brought that to my attention, then I had to look out for it. And I was like, okay, when somebody annoyed me, for instance, I'd be like, okay, now think about their lives, think about their house and how long they've worked today and how many assholes they've dealt with. Mm. And think about if they have a wife or a kid that loves them, you don't want to be mean to somebody, you know, like I had to do these exercises to cultivate that empathy. So it's not something that you just because you don't have, it doesn't mean you can't get it. You can get it.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, now it's exhausting because I have these thoughts about everybody.
No, I do that every day. I think about like the reason this person is being an asshole is because of this, and that.
Yeah,
something
so
led up, and
this.
It helps me because it helps me because you're kind of like analyzing them, and then you kind of feel bad for them. You're like,
damn, well now y'all helping me because I'll be. you know, I'm a bully. I'm kind of like you.
I'm like you. Yeah. No, so. I get it. But it's also nice to take a moment. Instead of reacting to everything, it was responding. Mm-hmm. Like taking the moment, the difference between a reaction and a response is the space of awareness in between that you just said, fuck you to me. And if I say, fuck you, that's ego. That's my defense. Mm-hmm. If you say, fuck you to me and I say, well, wait, why?
Why?
Why? What did I do?
Or how did we get here?
Yeah. How did we get here? Mm-hmm. Then that is not reactive. Right. That's a response. And I had to learn that skill, which, I mean, if you watch the documentary, you can tell that I've nailed it.
And a great job. Because they were saying some things and I was okay.
People are used to me going for it. And I was like, I was on my own mission. I'm like, no, this is empathy. I want to understand. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think people are inherently bad. I don't think anyone's inherently bad. You lose your way. People make bad choices. They're brought up in environments that aren't educative. You know, they don't understand history of
except
this country.
Donald Trump.
Well, Donald Trump, I have no sympathy for or empathy. Yeah. He's like dead. He's dead in the head. So, so that's enough. But it is a great skill to cultivate, and it makes you understand people better, and that people have different lives and they have different experiences, and not to be mad at somebody for voting for Donald Trump, to understand why they were moved in that direction.
And do they regret it now?
Right.
Because that's how I really judge you. Did you make a bad decision? Because if you voted for Donald Trump and you still think that was a great idea, I don't know how much empathy I have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a racist at this point. If you're still supporting this guy, then you're fucking racist. And that's all there is to it.
Right. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the candidates that are coming up now? Do you see anybody that may...
I love Elizabeth Warren.
I like Elizabeth Warren, too.
I want Elizabeth Warren and Stacey Abrams to team up. Mm-hmm. That ticket to me sounds super exciting. So, yeah, I'm a big Elizabeth Warren fan. Okay. What about you?
I'm on the fence still. I still want to hear some more stuff. I you know who I really like and everybody thinks I'm crazy?
Who?
I'm part of the Yang Gang right now.
I like him.
You know, because I think he has different approaches. And I feel like sometimes you have to take a different approach. And maybe he's not
the president
we need to be president.
Right.
But I feel like he is somebody that we need to listen to because he's not wrong about certain things that he's saying.
Yeah, I like Andrew Yang. I don't know if I would want him to be president.
Not president.
I like Elizabeth Warren because she has all those solutions.
Elizabeth Warren does have solutions. She actually has a plan.
Right.
Which compared to, you know, this buffoon, it's like, okay, we're hearing
and
somebody.
I think that's what's needed right now is a plan. Like, not just a bunch of talk, not just a bunch of, but really a thoughtful, like, well thought out, like, plan of how to fix this shit, because it's a fucking clusterfuck.
Yeah, and
right
to
now.
Make legislation moving forward that we don't ever get ourselves in a situation where a guy can just sign off a bunch of executive orders.
Right. It's crazy. Know? This is a tyranny right now, so... It's what we're living in. Mm-hmm. But Chelsea, I know you have to go, but
don't
I
want
appreciate
you to.
Yeah,
I had so much fun, you guys.
No, you really, honestly, like, I was so excited for you to come here because I've been watching you forever. I went to your stand-up, you know, I read all of your books, My Horizontal Life. That was, I enjoy things like that. And I love the lies Chelsea told me.
Yeah.
We want Chelsea Handler Chelsea Lately to come back.
Well, you're going to hold your breath for that one. A lot of people want that. I'm like, when we're out of ideas, I say to my team, Chelsea Lately. Reboot.
Yeah. That was the best late night show.
Sure. I told you, like I said, I fashion myself when people tell me, like, oh, you're talking too much about sex, you're talking too much about anal. I'm like, okay, but Chelsea.
There you go. I paved your anal pathway. You're welcome.
But I'm disappointed about your lack of dick sucking skills.
I know you are. I know. So is everyone. No one's talking
about
it.
That's what he said. Some people more disappointed than me, I'm sure. But next time you come back, because I know you are going to come back. Oh, maybe we should try that. What's it called again?
Ayahuasca.
No, we're doing that. Maybe you should do ayahuasca and suck dick on it.
No. She'll be throwing up and shitting.
Okay, that's not what I want to do on ayahuasca.
Exactly. It's supposed to be something to reflect
maybe
on
you
your
should
life.
Do ayahuasca and suck dick.
I'm okay. I don't need the help.
I think if I take ayahuasca, I'll see Jesus.
You might.
That's what I'm saying. I want to do it so bad.
Yeah. All right, we are going to do it. So next time we see each other, we're going to be doing drugs.
Lip service does
drugs.
She's getting us a good shaman.
Yes.
All right, well, thank you so much. And again, your tour is happening right now. You're starting off in Australia, right?
Yeah, Australia. And then I'm doing some North American cities. LiveNation.com, you can buy tickets.
Oh, and we have a tour too on Live Nation.
Yes, we do.
Our tour starts that's at the end of October. Is it October?
Yes. The 20th.
October 20th in Philly, and then New York, and then we have a bunch of different cities. We're not going to Australia or nothing
but
like that.
But we're coming to LA.
We are coming to LA in November. LA. And yeah, so make sure you check us out too on Live Nation as well to get those tickets for Lift Service Live. Thank you so much, Chelsea. We really appreciate it.
This has been amazing.
Thank you, girls.
Lip Service.
Bye.